Welcome to Investigative Post Money in Politics. Today we're talking about former elected officials who hold on to their campaign cash long after they've left office. I'm Jeff Kelly, government and politics reporter with Investigative Post, and I'm talking with Ken Cruley, who researches and produces Money in Politics, a regular feature on our website. Welcome, Ken.
Thank you, Jeff. Nice to be here.
Elected office holders spend a lot of time and energy raising money to pay for their campaigns, to win and hold on to their jobs. And then one day, they leave office, and sometimes they leave with a lot of campaign cash left over. Our subject today is what those former office holders do with the money. So let's start talking about what you looked at. What'd you do?
What I did was I went back actually over the last 20 years and looked at members of the House and Senate and federal level, assemblymen, senators on the state level, and some local executive offices of people who had left office. The total of 32 people altogether, and I took a look at how much they've, whether they still have an account open and whether they still have cash in it.
So tell us, what did you find?
Well, I found that there's a total of the 32 I looked at, there's a total of 10 who still have campaign accounts with more than a year after they've left office. Five of them are Democrats, five are Republican, although that's sort of coincidental on this and not particularly relevant. I found that there was a range of cash available. The high range for people out of office for more than a year is from former state senator George Maziarz, who had over $545,000 in his account as of January 10th. On the lower end, and interestingly, the Hillary Clinton campaign has $22,343 in it, according to federal records. Hillary ran for re-election in 2006 as a senator and left the office in 2009 when she became Secretary of State. I don't know why it's still sitting there. She's obviously not running for an office again, but it exists. Some substantial amounts of money. We have Kathy Young, who left the state Senate about a year and a half or so ago. She has over $425,000. John LaFalls, who was last a member of Congress in 2002, has $144,000 in his account. Joel Jambra, $75,000. He's been out of office for 13 years. William Stokowski, a state senator, almost $55,000. Out for 10 years. Anthony Masiello, out for 15 years from office, still has $75,000 in his account.
Maziarz is an interesting case. Here he is with over $500,000. He left office under investigation for misusing campaign funds. It's kind of ironic.
Yeah, well, it's like he's almost like he's still there. There was talk at one point when people were thinking that State Senator Ort was going to run for Congress, that Maziarz might run again for his old seat because he was not convicted of any crime. He was investigated but not convicted. And so but that never developed. Ort is still in the Senate, and that would be probably the Senate seat that Maziarz would be interested in. So what he does with the money from here on in is going to be interesting.
So at the top of your list is a guy who just left office, Senator Ranzenhofer, with $824,000. It kind of begs the question, what do these guys do with this money?
Well, it's a very interesting question. What they do normally, for most of them have considerably less than Ranzenhofer, but they donate to candidates, they donate to parties, they donate to charities, a lot of that, colleges and high schools and stuff. They buy tickets for different things. There's also a lot of expenses that are unitemized reimbursement for credit card expenses. And so we don't really know what they did with the money in many cases. The preponderance of the use is with other candidates and parties, but when you're sitting on over $800,000, I'm not sure what you do with that. I looked at the stuff that he had spent in the most recent cycle, and he donated some money here and there to the state Senate campaign committee and stuff, but not a whole lot. Robin Schimminger, who just left office, also has over $400,000 in his account.
Years ago, when I edited a weekly paper, Art Voice, every filing cycle, I used to write a column or insert into a column a quick analysis of where Tony Masiello had been eating lunch and taking people out to dinner, because it was always there in his campaign finance filings. When he left City Hall, at the time, it seemed like he had an extraordinary amount of money. It was, I think, a record. What Tony was doing really was building a lobbying business.
Yeah, the recent review that I did of the state lobbying expenses, Tony's firm, which is now Masiello Martucci, collected in fees just in Western New York almost $1.5 million in 2019. We don't have data from 2020 yet, but it's been trending upward over the years because I've looked at those things every year.
And it seems as if now he doesn't, there's very little activity left. He's still got, I think you said, $75,000.
Right.
It's not as active. The only activity I see there, in fact, has to do with his relationship with a company called Counsel Financial Services, a Williamsville firm that helps finance lawsuits. They lend money to a firm to pursue, hopefully lucrative claim, and then they take part of the settlement mm-hmm. in repayment.
Yeah, he's actually invested his money and collected, last I looked, $600 or $700 a month in investment returns for his money. Actually, one of the larger expenses he had last year was paying federal tax because the money that he earned on his investments produced a tax liability.
So he's found a way to sort of perpetuate this account even long after he really needs it. Is this what donors signed on for when they wrote checks to candidates?
No. Nobody ever asks when you're being solicited for funds, do you mind if we 10 years from now donate $1,000 to XYZ High School or anything, or a charity or something? It's not the intent.
Or use it to lobby a state
or
legislator.
Or use it for lobbying or pay for dinners of unknown quantity or cost. The donors were certainly not involved in the decisions about how the money was used. People gave the money because they assumed that it was going to be involved in a campaign. Some of it was. But there's no way to track Joe Smith's $100 to see if it in fact went to pay for brochures or it paid for somebody's lunch or dinner someplace.
Yeah.
10 years out.
Now, judicial candidates are expected to close down their campaign committees and empty out their accounts.
Right. Within the year following their candidacy, they have to clear the account out. In many cases, they return money. You might donate to a judicial candidate who gets elected, but then if you donated $500, you might get $350 back because they didn't need or didn't have to spend it because it was either uncontested or it was a cross endorsement or something, and the candidates didn't spend it all. So that's much different than elected legislators or executives who there's no limitation on holding these accounts or what they do with them or how long they can hold them or anything.
Yeah, there's very little regulation about even how they can spend the money, right?
Right.
I mean, effectively, there's none.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be reasonable for some sort of requirement, such as obtains with judges, be extended to other elected offices too? I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, just because somebody leaves office of one position this year doesn't mean that he's not planning or she's not planning to run for something else 2 years down the road.
Or for the same office.
Or for the same office if they happen to lose. So it's a little bit different for legislators and executives, I would think. But when it starts to get into an extended periods of time, then it's obvious that they're not going to run for anything further. And the money is just there for other purposes.
Let's talk about some other political news. Let's start with developments in the sheriff's race. Earlier this week, Miles Carter declared his candidacy. Miles Carter is an activist who sort of rose to the leadership of the activists who were protesting in the streets of Buffalo over the summer. He was famously pushed down from behind while being interviewed by a TV reporter during a protest on the east side by cops. He's running. What else is going on in the sheriff's race?
Well, the parties are probably getting closer to making an endorsement, which will come sometime this month, because petitions originally scheduled for February 23rd will now start on March 2nd. So endorsements will be happening soon. From what I'm hearing, Brian Gould, who's an official in the Cheektowaga Department. I think he's a deputy chief is the person who seems most likely to get the Democratic endorsement, but there's two or three other people still in the running. With the Republicans, it seems to come down to two or three people. There's Karen Healy Case, who is a former police officer. There's John Garcia, a Buffalo police officer previously. There's Ted DiNoto, who's a lieutenant, I believe, in the Amherst Police Department. There's someone from the Lancaster Police Department. There's several out there yet. The Republicans haven't seemed to sort it out yet. Garcia's raised substantially more money than anybody else. The other candidates, as you mentioned, Miles Carter, you know, it's an opportunity. The number of signatures required for petitioning is going to be reduced this year because of the pandemic, and so someone can qualify for the June primary, assuming that that's the way they want to go rather than independent. But qualifying for the primary and actually being a contender is two different things. And Republicans generally don't like primaries. So whether there's a Case Garcia primary or not remains to be seen also.
On the comptroller's side, the Democrats seem to have settled on Kevin Hardwick. And yet, lo and behold, there is possible primary challenger, businessman Hormoz Mansouri.
Hormoz has been interested in the office on and off for several cycles. He's a businessman, runs an engineering firm, been heavily involved in politics over the years. He would have the financial wherewithal to do it, self-finance if he wanted to.
In the mayor's race in the city of Buffalo, so Mayor Byron Brown still has not announced his intention to run for re-election. However, he has reached out for the endorsement of the Democratic and Working Families parties. So, I suppose it's not official, but, you know, he's running. Mm-hmm. You know, he's asking for approval.
Yeah, that's highly likely. We know that there's three or four other potential candidates. Do they qualify for a Democratic primary? Do they somehow steal away the Working Families Party that has endorsed the mayor in previous elections? Do they run as an independent in November, which is a different process? But as far as the Democratic primary, I would assume that when all is said and done, the mayor will be endorsed by the Democratic Party. There's also races, of course, in town of Amherst and a variety of other locations. And there's about 200 candidates or 200 offices to be filled this year in Erie County. And so a lot of them we probably will never hear much about.
And there's one we'll hear a lot about, of course, which is the race for Hamburg Town Supervisor, which has attracted our current county comptroller, Stefan Mihailu, who today sent to the commissioner for the state labor department a letter advocating on the behalf of employees of the Ford stamping plant because COVID has cut into hours, which compromises their ability to qualify for certain benefits. The Erie County Comptroller is sending this letter about this issue. The Ford stamping plant, of course, is located in Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's campaigning from that office for this next office.
Yeah, I've written a blog post on that on my site and commenting on he seems to be greatly interested in national and state affairs and haven't heard very much about what he wants to do in Hamburg. And Hamburg seems to be relatively okay financially. They balanced their budget. They reduced the tax levy. They cut expenses. So it's not like there's a whole lot to talk about. If he wants to talk about Donald Trump and Andrew Cuomo, I guess he can do that.
That's Money in Politics for this week. What's next on your docket, Ken?
We're going to take a look at the campaign finances of Congressman Brian Higgins.
All right. Well, that sounds promising. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
You can follow Ken Crooley's work at politicsandstuff.com. And, of course, keep coming back to investigativepost.org for our deep coverage of issues of importance to Western New York.